Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As I continue to look for more ways to fulfill my pledge to provide the information you need to make informed choices about your health and wellness, I've developed a simple way for you to access curated supplement protocols previously available only to patients in my private practice. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com. There you'll find easy-to-follow links to not only the best individual products, but also to my brand new Intelligent Medicine Lifestyle Supplement Protocols that combine the products I recommend to achieve your specific goals, whether it be heart health, immune support, and much more. It's the easiest way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need in order to follow the Intelligent Medicine Lifestyle. And for a limited time, you'll also receive 10% off and free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details and to take advantage of these special offers, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com.
Welcome to another edition of Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine, your destination for questions, topics of interest, is radio program at AOL.com. That is radio program at AOL.com. I want to dive right in to questions. I actually have a follow-up question from Virginia, whose earlier question I answered about Allimax and IBS and all of that, all of the different supplements that she's taking. Virginia is a 77-year-old female, healthy and taking a lot of supplements. And Virginia, I'm thank you for this, for your response. This is what she says. She says, "You also indicated my A1C is still too high." This, her A1C, hemoglobin A1C, which is an average marker of blood sugar, is at a 5.5. Now, this average marker of blood sugar is very important. If Virginia's A1C was above 5.6, nearing 5.7, she would be in the area of prediabetes. So, Virginia says, "I do take CM Core for blood sugar. I eat veggies, small amounts of fish, chicken, grass-fed meat, lots of salad. Sprouted bread only when on hikes or bike rides, a fruit a day. I drink red wine 3 times a week. Bravo, that's the medicinal dose of red wine, if there is a medicinal dose of red wine, is not more than about, 3 to 5 ounces 3 times a week. And Virginia goes on to say, "I am thinking perhaps the 35 supplements I take may be responsible for both the higher A1C and gut fullness." Yes, Virginia, you're taking a lot of supplements and that could contribute to the fullness. One supplement jumps out at me regarding the A1C, and that's glucosamine. We have observed and we've seen in some scientific literature that glucosamine can raise blood sugar levels. Now, Virginia is taking chondroitin glucosamine for arthritis in her hands, which is what we would prescribe. Here's the thing. You could try stopping the glucosamine for a time to see if your A1C comes down. But here's the other thing. You are below the prediabetes threshold. In addition, you're 77 years of age. You're a healthy 77-year-old woman. As we get older and as we become elderly, our blood sugars naturally increase. So I want to reframe this saying, for a 77 healthy year old woman, 5.5 A1C should be just fine. And I don't want you to give up the terrific supplements you're taking, and I know the glucosamine with the chondroitin is helpful for arthritis. May I also recommend, if you do have arthritis, to give up the nightshade family of vegetables. Sorry to you tomato growers in your backyards, or peppers, or eggplant. These are nightshades. So, tomatoes and all tomato products, peppers of all kinds except the black pepper shaker on your kitchen table, and eggplant and white potatoes, not sweet potatoes or yams, but white potatoes, white flesh potatoes. Another nightshade is tobacco. So you may want to consider giving these up. Thank you for your response. Continue your wonderful, healthy life. And Virginia says, and she says this beautifully, all of these were meant to keep me hiking, biking, and skiing at age 77. This is what happens when one listens to Intelligent Medicine for 30 years. Yes, since Dr. H took over from Dr. Atkins. Your grateful fan, Virginia. Thank you, Virginia. Keep on keeping on. I have another question here from Francis. Hello, Layla. Love your well-informed podcasts. I currently take a probiotic, which agrees with me. I've tried a few, as well as a prebiotic that I take as needed. Pardon me. My husband and I are traveling to Mexico for the month of March. We will be in a condo, so I can prepare a lot of our own foods. Terrific. Question. It was suggested we take Dukoral. Should I take this or stick to my probiotics or both? Might it do more harm than good? First, let me say what Dukoral is. Dukoral is an oral vaccine against cholera, or, you know, that any type of diarrhea, but especially cholera, traveler's diarrhea, you've heard of Montezuma's Revenge, all of that kind of thing. Here's the therapeutic indication for Dukoral, and again, this is an oral vaccine. It's given by mouth. It's available as a suspension in a bottle, together with effervescent granules in a sachet. These granules are dissolved in water and mixed with the vaccine before intake. So, the vaccine contains four different inactivated strains or types of the bacterium Vibrio cholerae, and part of a toxin from one of these strains is active substances. What is it used for? What is Dukoral used for? It's used to protect against cholera, a very serious disease which is caught from contaminated food or water and causes severe diarrhea. Dukoral is used in adults, adolescents, and children from 2 years of age who will be visiting high-risk areas. Francis, this is likely why your doctor is prescribing Dukoral for you. Dukoral should be given according to official recommendations, taking into account where cholera is found and the risk of contracting the disease. Dukoral should not replace standard protective measures against cholera, including advice on diet and hygiene. The vaccine can be obtained with a prescription. So, what is the risk associated with Dukoral? And this is probably something that Francis is concerned about. The side effects with Dukoral are not common. However, the following side effects are seen in between 1 and 10 patients in 1,000. Headache, diarrhea, abdominal pain, cramps, gurgling, gas, or discomfort. And they, of course, will include a full list of side effects in the package leaflet. Dukoral should not be used in people who may be hypersensitive or allergic to any of the active substances or to any of the other ingredients or to formaldehyde. Oof. It should be postponed in patients with a short-lived illness affecting the stomach or gut or with a fever. Why has Dukoral been approved? The risk for cholera for regular tourists is minor, but Dukoral could be important for certain groups, such as healthcare workers and cholera epidemics. The committee decided Dukoral's benefits are greater than its risks and recommended that it be given marketing authorization. Now, here's the thing. Other information about Dukoral. The European Commission granted a marketing authorization valid throughout the European Union for Dukoral on April 28, 2004. The European Commission, the EC, is generally much more stringent than any American body like the FDA. So, Francis, what should you do? It was suggested that you take Dukoral. You're going to be in Mexico for the month of March. You're going to be eating their food, their fruit may be contaminated. The water may be contaminated. Make sure the water is filtered, or you're only drinking bottled water, even brushing your teeth with bottled water, etc. You know, cooking with possibly bottled water, and all the other rules for anybody traveling to Mexico. Here's what I would do. You and your doctor have to decide whether you and your husband should take Dukoral. But I'll answer this. Should you stick with your probiotics? Absolutely. The probiotics that you're taking would not interfere with this oral vaccination should you decide to take it. So take your probiotics, take them with you. I particularly like, especially for those traveling internationally, Dr. O'Hara's essential formula. If you were to have, you and your husband were to have any diarrhea, including travelers or anything else, you could take as much as 6 a day of Dr. O'Hara's essential formula. So this would only be helpful. Take that with you. However, if you've tried the Dr. O'Hara's, it's not agreed with you, you're currently taking a probiotic which agrees with you, take that probiotic with you. Take it with you. And the prebiotic is needed is fine. If you are ever experiencing diarrhea or anything like that, don't take a prebiotic during that time. The prebiotic may feed the bad bacteria in your gut. The probiotic would be recommended. However, I hope you and your husband have a wonderful time in Mexico. And the fact that you've got a condo and you're going to be cooking and all of that sounds wonderful. Enjoy that. Thank you for your question. I want to talk to you about a study. This was in January's journal called Cell, January 2018. Western diet triggers NLRP3-dependent innate immune reprogramming. This is about epigenetics. Epigenetics is the study of changes in organisms caused by modification of gene expression rather than alteration in the genetic code itself. It's gained much attention in recent years. I was just at the Integrative Healthcare Symposium, IHS here. It's at the Hilton every February, March in New York. It's a 3-day long symposium, which is wonderful. And there isn't a lecture where epigenetics is not addressed. It's the study of changes in organisms caused by modification of gene expression. How your grandmother ate, how your mother ate, you are expressing. Your genes are expressing across the generations. This is the study of epigenetics. Environmental factors, including diet, smoking, and stress, have been shown to impact gene expression through epigenetic mechanisms. In a recent experiment involving the collaboration of several medical institutions. This is the Institute of Innate Immunity, University Hospital in Bonn, Germany, Department of Infectious Diseases and Immunology, UMass Medical School in Massachusetts, the Department for Genomics and Immunoregulation and Myeloid Cell Biology, Life Medical Sciences Institute. A lot of different universities here. Netherlands, the list is very, very, very long. Now, in a recent experiment involving a collaboration of several medical institutions, an experiment was performed on mice to determine how their immunity responded to a typical Western diet. The typical Western diet, as you know, the SAD diet, the acronym is SAD for the Standard American Diet. When mice were fed a Western diet, systemic inflammation occurred, which was entirely expected. Anybody on a SAD diet is going to experience inflammation, and including these mice. However, what was particularly interesting was that the Western, aka inflammatory diet, fundamentally changed their immune system. After eating high-calorie, low-nutrient food, not only did the mice exhibit more systemic inflammation, which they say was not surprising, but their white blood cells became programmed to remain hypersensitive to inflammatory triggers. The cellular memory had changed. This is fascinating. And here's how it worked. A gene called NLRP3 for nucleotide binding domain-like receptor protein, NLRP3, makes a protein that is used by our immune cells to recognize harmful bacteria and viruses. This protein, made by the NLRP3 gene, recognizes bad, in quotes, cell remnants. These can be parts of bacterial cell membranes or pieces of genetic material found in the viruses, or even parts of a cell that are supposed to be contained but may leak out due to cellular trauma. It's a fundamental way our immune cells recognize that something is wrong. Bacteria are present or acute tissue damage occurred, for example, and thus launch an inflammatory response to deal with the biological crisis and take care of it. In this study, the immune cells in mice fed a typical Western diet of high-calorie, low-nutrient foods launched the same inflammatory response as if an invading bacterial infection were present. Wow. Furthermore, the immune cells became hypersensitive so that they continued their inflammatory attack even when the mice's diet was returned to normal. In other words, the immune cells responded to a Western diet in the same way it responds to infections. But instead of the infection clearing up, the Western diet seemed to reprogram the immune cells to stay in a perpetual hyperactive state. These results may help explain why chronic inflammation is behind so many lifestyle-related diseases such as heart disease, obesity, and diabetes. It's an inflammatory diet. The Western diet is an inflammatory diet. More reason to be on an anti-inflammatory diet, which is now the in vogue term. What's an anti-inflammatory diet? What does it consist of? The rainbow of colors in your produce, in your organically grown produce. If you're not able to buy everything organic, at least avoid the dirty dozen and go for the clean 15. You can find those lists at environmentalworkinggroup.org, that's EWG.org, as well as many other websites at this point. Easy to find if you just Google it, dirty dozen and clean 15. There's your term. Inflammatory diets include preservatives, additives, flavor enhancers, MSG, pro-inflammatory vegetable oils like safflower, sunflower, corn oil, soybean oil, canola oil, cottonseed is probably the worst. All of these oils. Artificial sweeteners such as aspartame. None of these are good for the body. They provoke inflammatory responses. So, and being on a pro-inflammatory diet for a period of time, these inflammatory markers can go up. It could probably be seen on your blood tests. You may have a higher C-reactive protein or something like that, or other inflammatory markers. Alcohol is also inflammatory. It can raise C-reactive protein. It may raise ferritin levels, which is the storage form of iron. However, when it's very high, it's often a marker of inflammation. Interleukins, tumor necrosis factor, alpha, these are inflammatory markers that can be checked by your doctor. And by embarking on an anti-inflammatory diet, these inflammatory markers, these markers will go down after a period of time. Don't get your blood tests redone immediately, like 1 month into an anti-inflammatory diet. Let your body actually heal itself. That inflammation may take some time to come down. Retest after about 3 months or so. All the more reason not to be on a sad diet and to eat as clean as possible. Your chicken should not only be organic, but pastured, pasture-raised. Organic still means they're fed corn and soy, which is unfortunate. That's not what chickens should be fed. So pasture-raised. Go to usgrasslandmeats.com. You may find pasture-raised chicken there. Or some other outlet. Go to your local farmer. Grass-fed meat. It must be grass-finished. All beef, all cattle are started eating grass. And they will often call this grass-fed meat, but they are not grass-finished. Your meat must be grass-fed and grass-finished. Your pork must be natural, pastured. This is all part of an anti-inflammatory diet, taking important antioxidants, eating your berries, your blueberries, blackberries, raspberries, strawberries, other fruits, low glycemic like plums, even some dried fruits on occasion like prunes. As I talked about prunes and bone health recently. And that's it for this edition of Layla Weighs In. I thank you for joining me. The destination is radioprogram@AOL.com for your questions. And join me again next week. This is Layla Mudin signing off. This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.